For those in recovery, support from friends and family often leads to better outcomes. Here's to those who are essential to helping people find their path to recovery. Visit cdc.gov/stopoverdose for information about treatment options and how to support those experiencing addiction.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be.
It's Brandon Tierney and Sal Licata on WFAN The Fan, 101.9 FM, and always live on the Free Odyssey app.
Ah, yes! 10:02 on this Friday morning. It's a Friday midday. Mark Melusis in for BT and Sal. As I have been the last 3 days, taking right up until 2 o'clock this afternoon. Dove Pete across the way, 888-808-1019, 888-808-1019. That is your number to call. Hit me up on X at Mark Melusis as well. And a good Friday morning to one and all. And we get it going with a little. I talked about the Jets the other day and, you know, my Super Bowl prediction for Gangrene that this is finally going to be their year in 2024. Want to kick off this morning, talk a little bit about the Giants. Because the Giants are kind of flying under the radar, and for obviously coming off a disastrous season a year ago, Wink Martindale out as defensive coordinator. Obviously, the coaching staff, there were issues, concerns about Daboll and how he handles his staff, all the things that we've heard during the course of the offseason. Then you talk about the talent, right? Saquon Barkley leaving for the Philadelphia Eagles during the course of the offseason. Daniel Jones always loves to be, I mean, he is, you know, the redheaded stepchild. I mean, he just is. I mean, everybody loves to knock Daniel Jones, whether it be on TV, whether it be on radio, whether it be on podcasts, whether it be in news, whatever it might be. I mean, Daniel Jones is like the pinata of New York athletes. He just is. And I get it. I understand. He's getting paid a ton of money. He's the quarterback of the Giants. And, you know, he's kind of the guy that, you know, what you want to see, he'll show you. If you don't believe he's particularly good, well, there's enough on tape to believe that. If you want to say, well, he's talented enough to go out there and play the position, you could win. Well, you go back a couple years ago when the Giants made the playoffs and won a playoff game in Minnesota. But there's a lot of layers to the Giants. And I'll tell you this, you know, as I was, you know, driving down my customary drive down the West Side Highway this morning. By the way, traffic was a bliss. It was fantastic. Labor Day weekend, people down at the beach. I won't be at the beach this weekend, but thank you for that. I mean, there was no traffic. It was fantastic. But as I was driving down the West Side Highway this morning, I was thinking about this. There is too much negativity when it comes to the Giants this year. I mean, it just is. And I get, we all lived through it. The end of the Jerry Reese era. We all lived through it. The Dave Gettleman era. We all lived through Pat Shermer. We all lived through Joe Judge. I understand that the bouquets were being thrown to Brian Daboll early on in his head coaching, you know, coach of the year, everything that we saw year number one, Giants going to the playoffs. But let's be honest here. You know, the idea that Shane and Daboll this year, their jobs are on the line, is complete and utter nonsense. Now, things could change, right? I mean, if the Giants go out there and win one game this year, you know, if they win two games this year, if they win three games this year, obviously, I mean, things can change. It's all a very, very fluid situation. But I'll tell you this, sitting here on this Friday morning, late August, before the start of Labor Day weekend, you know, Daboll's not going anywhere. The one thing I do know, as I was informed, John Mara craves stability within the organization. And this has been an unstable franchise. And all the negativity, you could say, well, it's well-deserved because the Giants, the results on the field have led you to believe and led you to lean negative. That's why 2 years ago was so stunning and so surprising, because you went from the inept Joe Judge and his coaching staff with this team running the veer against the Washington team, you know, at the end of the season, to then all of a sudden a guy in Brian Daboll that had an understanding of how to properly coach a team and put his team in a position to go out there and be successful. And everyone's like, wow, this is amazing. This is great. Finally, our head coach is not completely and utterly inept. Finally, I don't have to listen to a disastrous presser out in Chicago after a game against the Bears. But Mara does not enter this season, you know, with some sort of playoff edict. It's got to look better for the Giants this year. Now, are the expectations for the Giants and the Jets completely different? For sure. I think that's being realistic. If I came on the airwaves this morning and told you I think the Giants can win the NFC East, you'd ask me what I was smoking this morning. I mean, that's it. The Giants are not going to go out there. The Giants are not the Eagles. You know, they're not even the Dallas Cowboys. I think they'll be better than the Washington Commanders, but we'll see with their new coaching staff and Dan Quinn and, Jane Daniels at quarterback. I think they'll be better than them, but we'll see. There's a lot of factors that come into play. But has everyone dissected what the Giants did during the course of the offseason based on watching Hard Knocks offseason with the New York Giants on HBO and all that? And we saw that the Giants and people trying to read body language and read what was going on in Joe Shane's office and Brian Daboll and everything like that. And the fact that they tried to move up to get a quarterback. Everything that we knew before, but you saw it play out in video. And sometimes you got to feel it. You got to see it. You got to touch it in order to realize what was going on. Yes, the Giants were sitting there with the sixth overall pick. And they saw an opportunity, Shane Daboll did, to go out there and potentially get their quarterback. They did not compound the problem by going out and drafting a quarterback for the sake of drafting one, because they already had one under contract in Daniel Jones that they had signed the previous offseason. But there is no general manager in the National Football League that is going to go out there, as Joe Shane was asked the question by Dan Duggan from The Athletic the other day. No general manager out there that's going to tell you, well, this is what it's got to be this season in order for it to be successful. Nobody's going to do that. Nobody's going to pigeonhole themselves. Now, Shane showed himself to, showed a little anger. You know, showed a little frustration. And I get that. I understand that. You want to say that he can't lose his cool in that spot? That's fair. That's fair. But you know what? These guys are there to try and win football games. That's why Joe Shane got the job with the New York Giants. Daboll's there to go out there and win football games. That's why he got the job with the New York Giants, to have this team be well-coached, well-prepared. And we all knew, and I do think this, the year one success changed the narrative with the Giants to all of a sudden put expectations on a team that were probably undeserved. But that's what good coaching does in the National Football League. And then all of a sudden, the schedule was a lot more difficult. All of a sudden, injuries hit them. The lack of depth when it comes to a roster perspective, because the roster was dying and rotting away on the vine under Dave Gettleman. All of a sudden, that came home to roost a year ago, and the Giants had a disastrous season. What would lead you to believe that all of a sudden now, going into year three, when you have a co-owner in John Mara that is craving stability, that the Giants now all of a sudden are going to be inept once again? Did Daboll forget how to coach? Are you going to point to Wink Martindale? Wink Martindale, who was basically sent away by John Harbaugh and the Baltimore Ravens. There is a timeline to Wink Martindale and his personality. Sent away here by the New York Giants. The Giants in the offseason cleaned up their coaching staff. Now, am I going to tell you that Shane Bowen's as good of a defensive coordinator as Wink Martindale? No, the results would lead you to believe that Wink isn't. But sometimes you have to have everybody pushing in the same direction when it comes to a franchise. We is greater than me. We is greater than me. You didn't hear any issues about Dave's after year number one. No. He was out there smoking cigars, enjoying the victories after with the fans afterward, all the videos that we saw. And Dave's was a coaching legend here in New York, because you know what? He wasn't inept. He was not Joe Judge, and the Giants were playing competitive, winning football, and they went to the playoffs and beat the Minnesota Vikings out in Minnesota before they got absolutely lambasted by a more talented team than the Philadelphia Eagles. Last year was bad. I'm not going to deny it. But that doesn't necessarily mean that this year needs to be bad. Are the Giants going to go to the playoffs in 2024? No. I'm not going to come on the airwaves this morning and tell you that. I'm not going to give you some screaming hot take and tell you. Now, can the Giants go out there, win 7 games, 8 games, 9 games this year? Absolutely. Could it look a lot better than it did a year ago? No question about it. Could this year be a building block year to sustain success in the National Football League? Every team in the National Football League craves that, no doubt. Do a lot of things need to go right? Unquestionably. But do I like the way that Shane is going about building this team? This offseason was a step in the right direction. You win at the point of attack. We can all go back to 2007, and all go back to 2011 and look at those Giant teams. And we can talk about Eli Manning and the great helmet catch by David Tyree out there in Glendale, Arizona. We could talk about the great throw from Eli to Mario Manningham out in Indianapolis. We could talk about, you know, all of those things. Well, all of that does not happen. All that does not happen. I know the Tyree play, Manning escaped the sack. I get it. But you know the point. The point being is this. The Giants, growing up, you know, as a young pup in this area, right? Growing up, going to the old Giant Stadium, watching, you know, the legends, watching Sims at quarterback and Joe Morris, watching, you know, Bart Oates at center, watching Lawrence Taylor, Carl Banks, the great Leonard Marshall up front, Harry Carson, Pepper Johnson, Gary Reasons. The Giants won football games at that point. And I know the NFL has evolved, but still, in terms of a passing league. But the Giants won games at that point, and it still rings true then, and it still rings true now. You win at the point of attack. You win with your offensive line, and you win with your defensive line. The Giants did in 07. The Giants did in 2011. Justin Tuck, who I heard getting interviewed, I think with the afternoon show with Evan and Tiki out at the Fanatics Fest, right? Justin Tuck, and I've interviewed him myself. Justin Tuck was the best player on the field that day in 2007 out in Glendale, Arizona. That defensive line was the reason the Giants had an opportunity to win that game late against New England. And this offseason, what did Shane do? We've heard Reese talk about it. We've heard Gettleman talk about it. He addressed the offensive line. Maybe not with the 6th overall pick, because you know what? They had an opportunity to draft an elite playmaker. But in free agency, he did. They've got an elite left tackle in Andrew Thomas. John Michael Schmitz, as long as he's healthy, I think he's going to be a starter at center for a long time. The offensive line for the Giants, you hope, is no longer the same talking point that it has been for the last decade plus. And when you think about the great Giant teams of years gone by, what do they also have the opportunity or the ability to go out there and do week in and week out, impose their will as a defense? Now, we can look at it as they're working out of Dory Jackson as we speak, out of the Giants training complex out there in East Rutherford, right? And they've got weakness and concern in the back end when it comes to that secondary. And they're looking for that number two cornerback outside of Banks, their starter, the former first-round draft choice. But the Giants this offseason, to go along with the drafting of Kayvon Thibodeaux a couple years ago, the development of Dexter Lawrence, well, they went out there and added Brian Burns. Protect yours, get after theirs. Daboll didn't all of a sudden forget how to coach. Shane, who worked his rear end off in the National Football League to get an opportunity to be the general manager of the Giants, all of a sudden isn't completely inept and lost. You think John Mara wants to go out there and bring about wholesale change once again? That's the last thing you want to do in the National Football League. You want to try and stay the course, unless it becomes abundantly clear, like it did with Judge, like it did with Gettleman, like it did with the end with Jerry Reese. Unless it becomes abundantly clear that you need to move on, that is not in the cards as we speak and sit here on this Friday morning, you know, with the New York Giants. They might not have Super Bowl aspirations. You might not get the general manager, Joe Shane, to tell you, well, a successful year is 9 wins or 10 wins, and he's not going to go out there and pigeonhole himself to what a successful year looks like in 2024. But I'll tell you this, all the negativity, the Giants are going to be better. Just like there was no expectations year one, there was over-the-top expectations in year two. Now in year three, all of a sudden, the expectation is that this team is going to be a dumpster fire. I'll tell you this, they're going to be better than that. What does a successful season look like? The general manager wouldn't answer it. I'll tell you this. What is successful, and John Mara has been clear as day with this from since he's been the co-owner of the team. If the Giants are playing relevant football late in the season, it's a successful year. if that, you know, if they are playing meaningful games last quarter of the NFL regular season, if they have something to play for, you know what? It's a successful year. Can the Giants, if everything goes right, offensive line stays healthy, defense gets after the quarterback, defensive line imposes their will, playmakers at the wide receiver spot, and Daniel Jones plays well. I know that's a big key. If Daniel Jones plays well.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be, to be.
Sometimes in football, you need just a little more for that first down. You need to be pushing the pile. And on our new podcast, we'll give you that extra effort.
I'm Mike Renner, a longtime NFL analyst who helped develop player evaluation systems that every NFL team uses to this day.
And I'm Kyle Long, former All-Pro offensive lineman in the NFL who knows a thing or two about getting people moving.
You'll get expertise from inside the trenches and behind the tape for 4 episodes every week. So make sure you download and subscribe to the Pushing the Pile podcast on the Odyssey app.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking Spunks puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
In life, some days are good, and some could be better. The same is true for recovery. Both take work. Both take adjustments. Finding your path is a key part of your journey. And then it's all about walking it every day. Embrace the good days, the not-so-good days, and the challenges, and acknowledge how you overcame them. Be open to every part of the journey and welcome it. It's unique and it's all part of you. Find the path to recovery that works for you. Learn more at cdc.gov/stopoverdose.
Can the Giants have a successful season? I think they can.
Start some trouble and call the Fan. 888-808-1019. Powered by Paramount Plus. Stream the NFL on CBS live on Paramount Plus.
1023, Mark Malusis with you. Friday midday in for BT and Sal. Number to call 888-808-1019 as we kicked it off a little Giants football. Too much negativity with the Big Blue this year. There's just, I'm not telling you that they're going to be the best team in the National Football League, but if you're going to actually compare them to Carolina, I would question exactly what you're watching. Lawrence in Oklahoma City, Oklahoma, first up this morning. What's going on, Lawrence?
I've been waiting to talk about the Giants, and I'm very excited to talk about them.
Okay.
But it's not for the best reasons. I don't think they're going to be good this year. I'm sniffing like 3 wins when I look at the schedule. I don't see it working for us. I think the defenses are going to game plan against Daniel Jones, and there's not much else there, you know?
Well, that's not true. You have Malik Nabers, you have Hyatt, you have Wandell Robinson, you have what is supposed to be a vastly improved offensive line. They trust Devin Singletary. It's not going to exactly be the same with Saquon Barkley. I'm not going to compare the two running backs, but you can't say that there's nothing there. That's just unfair. Well, and Dave's is now going to be calling plays. He's going to be a lot more aggressive, pushing the ball down the field. So that's really not a fair statement to me.
I do think that the wide receiver core is completely unproven, and to have any confidence in any of them to perform is we can have hopes for Nabers, and I have hopes for Hyatt and Wandale, but they are still unproven. I'm very hopeful about the ball coach as well this year, and I just want to say I think that the worst thing that could happen this year is if we lose him as our head coach. That would be the absolute worst case scenario.
Yeah, I really don't think that's on the line. I really don't.
If you win 3 games, it's on the line, though.
I don't think they're winning 3 games. I think they're winning more than that, as I mentioned. Can they beat Minnesota week 1? Absolutely. Can they win in Washington? I think they can. Can they win in Seattle? I think they can. Are the Pittsburgh Steelers, who I think are, you know, going to be interesting with Russell Wilson at quarterback, well coached with Mike Tomlin. Is that an impossible game that they could potentially win? They take on Carolina this year. Can they beat the Tampa Bay Buccaneers? I mean, there are games on the schedule this year that the Giants can win. The idea that, you know, they're, and here's the deal, Lawrence, like, we went from year one with Dave's because it was so refreshing, right? It was so refreshing
that you
actually saw a team that was well coached. It was so refreshing to see a coaching staff, you know, actually have a game plan and put their players in a position
to
go out there and be successful, right? But, you know, the team did not quit on Dave's last year. There were issues in the infrastructure.
Yeah.
There were issues, you know, on that coaching staff, and those issues came to light after the season. Now, you hopefully have an entire coaching staff that is pushing in the same direction year number three.
I hope so, and I love the Giants, and I love Coach DeBall, and I love the direction. And I just don't want to be, I don't want to have a bad season affect the direction, because we have the right people in the building. And as long as the team fights, I'm going to be happy with them. You know what I mean? But I'm sniffing 3 wins. I just got to say it.
Well, I got you. You're looking at 3-14 on the season. All right. I mean, and, you know, if that happens, then, you know, we could be having a different conversation following the year. I don't think they're going to be as bad as you think they will be. You know, that is not a, that's a pessimistic Pete. I don't think it's going to be that bad. I don't. I mean, personally. And I'm not drinking the Giant Kool-Aid. I'm not talking about the fact that the Giants need to make the playoffs this year. I think the Giants, conceivably speaking, if their offensive line, now you could say, well, if they get ravaged by injury, there's not quality depth on the team. That is true, right? So that is fair. And that storyline could change. But if we're going to look at last year, did the team quit on Dable? No, they did not. Were they ravaged by injury? No doubt. They were. I mean, like, but now all of a sudden, you know, Dabes can't coach. Shane is inept. And the Giants are going to be a dumpster fire of a team once again. I'll put it to you this way. Like, is take it for my word. John Mara, going into this year, is not looking or putting pressure on and looking to make changes following this season. He likes the people that are in place and trusts the people that are in place that he helped bring into this organization. I mean, that is all true. There is nothing untrue about that. That is true. So you go into this season, and you're never going to get the general manager. Believe me, I sat down with Shane and Dave's for picks. I mean, and I had conversations with them, and you know, they're never going to give you. And I tried my best, joked around with Dave Boy and said, you know, I'm trying here, Brian. And, you know, and they're never going to go out there and pigeonhole themselves and talk about the fact of what this team and what they need to accomplish this year, what a successful season looks like. Even after what, you know, the co-owner of the Giants had to say when they unveiled that mural at the Hackensack University Medical Center. Jerry in Flemington's up next in the family. What's going on, Jerry?
Hey, how you doing, Moose, man? Great to hear your voice. Love to hear you on the radio again. I haven't heard you on the fan in a while. So, listen, you're on point with everything. I mean, Dable, love Dable, Shane, they're doing a great job. They didn't draft Daniel Jones, so it's all about Daniel Jones this year. They did solidify a lot of different things, and yeah, they got to look good, but they can go 4 wins, and I can still be happy with Dable. But if Daniel Jones fails, then he has to go out and get his own quarterback like he did with Josh Allen.
Well, I think then, though, if Daniel Jones goes down to yet another injury, if Daniel Jones is unsuccessful in orchestrating this offense, if Daniel Jones is non-competitive, all the things that the Daniel Jones detractors will bring up, yeah, for sure. I mean, Jerry, then I do believe that, you know, this regime will be given an opportunity to bring in their quarterback. For Daniel, though, he gets it. And here's the thing. We've seen him respond before. You know, I would tell you, if you were a betting man, and everybody talks about, you know, handicapping and betting. It's all over the place, right? You can't hop on social media. You can't hop on the airwaves without talking about it. But if you had a propensity to lay down a bet, I would put it to you this way. If I polled 100 people, 70 to 75% of the people 2 years ago would have bet that this was the end of Daniel Jones 2 years ago. And what happened? He responded, right? And I get he only had 15 touchdown passes. He was able to run the ball. I think he had 7 or 8 touchdown runs that year. The Giants went to the playoffs. He was the best player on the field in that Minnesota Viking game. The Giants don't necessarily need Daniel Jones to be Josh Allen. They love it, but let's be realistic. Yeah. He's never going to be Josh Allen. He's never going to be Patrick Mahomes. Absolutely. He's never going to be that caliber of quarterback. But if they could get a good version of Daniel Jones, the Giants can surprise some people this year. They can. I mean, that's it.
I agree.
There was no, you know, when they brought in Drew Locke, there was no promises, even though the general manager of the Seahawks talked about that, you know, Locke was promised an ability to compete for the starting quarterback job. That was never promised. That is a complete and utter lie. That was never true. Locke came here to be the backup quarterback for the Giants. They're holding on to Tommy DeVito because DeVito, you know, showed some promise and has shown some growth as a young quarterback in the National Football League. Good on Tommy Cutlets. That's fantastic. But as
Tommy
as I said all along, unquestionably, the starter of this team, as long as that knee was 100% healthy, was Daniel Jones. And he'll be the starter week one when they line up a week from this Sunday at 1 o'clock against the Minnesota Vikings.
Yes, sir. Thank you, Miss.
Yeah, you got it, Jerry. Appreciate the call. And I get it. Listen, and I would say, I've seen Jones respond before, and I'd like to see Daniel Jones respond again. I really would. I mean, and, you know, the Giants can, is he necessarily going to be the quarterback in the next 5, 6, 7, 8 years? I have no idea. I really don't. You'd probably lean that he would not, right, based on what you have seen. I think there are a number of factors, whether it be productivity or whether it be his inability to stay healthy and upright and on the field. Those are also the main issues when you're talking about Daniel Jones, too. Can he play the position using his athleticism, using his ability to be a dual threat quarterback, not to the level of Vic, not to the level of Lamar Jackson, but where you as a defense have to respect his ability to run the football, a guy that has had a torn ACL and 2 neck injuries? That is a massive question mark. Ivan in Houston up next on the Fan. What's going on, Ivan?
Hey, Moose, how you doing today?
Ivan, it's been a while, man. Last time we talked to you, I think we got into a little debate about the Mets and the Yankees.
And I just want to say I was right. Yankees are in first place. Mets are not still. But no reason to do all that right now. Moose, I want to talk about the Giants. I really think they're going to be, every time they someone picks them last, like the, you know, other people, like the other shows or whatever, they always seem to do pretty good. I don't think the guy with 3 wins who couldn't even say the coach's name right. Whatever, sure, you're a Giants fan. Okay.
Well, you think so? I'll tell you the other thing, Ivan. Neighbors is going to be ridiculously good. Like I talked to Bobby. I chatted with Bobby Okereke when I was out at training camp a couple weeks ago, and I asked him is all the buildup real? And he goes, he's better than that.
Wow. Okay, Moose, can I get a little pet peeve with you real quick? I want to address.
Sure.
So 2 years ago, when they made the playoffs, right? Everyone was like, "Oh, you know, the team wasn't that talented." Blah blah blah. And I get that. Oh, and they always blame Gettleman. But I mean, if you really look at it, right? All the guys Gettleman drafted got big second contracts: McKinley, Julian Love, Dexter Lawrence, Andre Thomas, like Daniel Jones even got a second. And I know, you know, everybody kills them for the running back drastic, but are the Eagles a good franchise? Do they know what they're doing? I mean, they've been in 2 Super Bowls, right, recently?
Yeah.
And they've paid Saquon a boatload of money.
They did, but
I know people love to kill Gettleman, but if you look at a lot of his picks, Slayton, a 6th-rounder, is still on his team.
No, like, I mean, I'm not, but it's not just that, it's the concept of, but look at some of the misspent money he had in free agency as well, right? And just the approach of this team. I'm not telling you that, listen, in the end, and Gettleman, Gettleman also didn't help himself with the way that his attitude, the way his interviews with people, all those things, right? Dave was his own worst enemy, right? And I think the propensity of Mara, where people feel like he's this Jerry Jones interferer, comes in with the hiring of Gettleman because, you know, Gettleman was given the mantra, we want to try and win once again with Eli Manning toward the tail end of his career to try and put, you know, a Band-Aid on an open wound. And it didn't work,
No, it didn't work.
Not all bad was Gettleman. No. I think the drafting of Barkley 2nd overall, you know, with the way the running back position is being used in the National Football League, I think, you know, the lack of adjustment and adaptation at that stage as a general manager, I think, what bothers people. There's no doubt Barkley's talented, but there's also unquestionably no doubt the Eagles and the Giants are completely different positions as franchises. The Eagles are trying to win a Super Bowl this year, and they believe Saquon can help them do it, and he can.
And I understand that, but would this Giants team not be better right now with Neighbors and Barkley? See, that's my thing. Like, I get what people say about, well, you can't spend that money on that team. You know, Barkley accounts for like 75% of the offense the last 2 years. They're going to tell me that this team wouldn't look better with Barkley and Neighbors? I mean, like, that's the only thing. I get what people say about that second pick. And it was like, well, you got to do the offensive line. You know, last time I checked, Zach Martin and Quentin Nelson haven't won anything. You know, everybody always kills. They think, oh, you got to, you know, they have not won a playoff game, Quentin Nelson. You
well, I get, but that's not, that's all, that's also not all Quentin Nelson's fault, right? I mean,
oh, but I can say it's not all about Barkley's fault.
Well, but I understand, but the concept, but here's the deal, Ivan. The concept is, how do you properly build a team? I mean, you look at Zach Martin. Zach Martin's a Hall of Famer.
I understand that.
I mean, Zach Martin went, you know, after, he's going to get a gold jacket. That's how good he's been for the Dallas Cowboys.
Is he going to get a gold jacket if he gets another 3 good years? Of course he is.
Maybe.
I think so. I mean, but all I'm saying is, I get what you're saying, but I just say, everybody always brings that up, but it's funny how if you draft an offensive lineman, he's a Hall of Famer, but if you don't win, it's okay. But if I draft a running back or a wide receiver and they don't win, they're the worst draft pick in the world.
I defend it. Listen, like, Ivan, you're talking to a guy. You know, Ivan, you're talking to a guy. I defended the selection of Saquon with the second. I thought he was the cleanest prospect in the draft. You know, I did. We spent, I mean, I can't tell you how much oxygen was wasted on these airwaves talking about the drafting of Saquon Barkley, second overall coming out of Penn State. It was time for a divorce. It was time to move on. It was time for the Giants to move on. It was time for Saquon to move on. Now, will that divorce come with a little bit of pain? Yeah, probably. If he stays healthy, is he in a position to go out there and be uber successful down in Philadelphia? No question. Will that pain you as a Giant fan, seeing him run the football, run up and down the field, down at the link for the Philadelphia Eagles? Yes. It's going to come with a little pain. But in the end, what you hope for is this: sustained success. What you hope for is stability, something the Giants haven't had. Now, I get the negativity. The Giants have brought them on themselves, the way that they've played football for the majority of the last 10 years. But this is not, when we're looking at this regime now, this is not Gettleman and Judge at the end. That is not what this is. Let's be realistic here. And I get, you get the scars of that, the pain of that, the scabs of that. We all remember it. I understand that. But that's not what this is.
When this happened, you talked about it on The Fan.
And the ball game's over, and the Giants have won Super Bowl 46.
When New York sports happens, talk about it here. The Fan, 101.9 FM, and always live on the free Odyssey app.
I thought my diet was bad. I look across the way. It's 10:40 in the morning, and Hoffman's eating salt and vinegar potato chips.
Does a body good.
Dude, I mean, come on. It's 10. At least get to noon before you crack out the chips. Like, and listen, I have a terrible diet. I really do. I thought you were eating, like, I don't know what I thought you were eating. Maybe, like, I don't know, a breakfast tart or something like that. You're open up and I'm not a big salt and vinegar chips, but it's 10:40 in the morning. Dove then promptly asked me, you want some saltless pretzels? I go, no, I'll pass. Thank you. I appreciate that. Pretzels without salt. Pete. Put the chips down for a couple minutes. Wait till noon.
At least I got the salt on mine. That's all I'm saying.
Pizza beat, man. It's Friday. Dan and Seaford. What's going on, Danny? How are you, buddy?
Hey, I'm doing good. Thanks for taking the call.
You got it, Dan.
I just want to, I mean, it's been a long time. I can't remember the last time the Giants won their first game. And four of the first five games looked pretty winnable, or at least winnable. So I just want them to get off. And like I said, I just want them to be 1-0. And I'm glad they're not playing the Cowboys, you know, first game of the year. And I just want to get your thoughts on what you think. Like I said, the first five games, I think it's four of them.
Yeah, I mean, so Vikings, Commanders, at Cleveland, Dallas home, at Seattle, Cincinnati. That's the first six, right? I mean, can they win in Seattle? Yeah, I think that they can. I think they could beat. I think they can beat Minnesota. You know, can they win in Washington? Yeah, I don't think that's out of the realm of possibility. Cleveland, Dallas are going to be tough. I mean, Dallas is going to be home out at MetLife Stadium, but. Yeah, I would be. They have to get off to a good start. Wouldn't disagree with you there. And they've got a very winnable game next Sunday, the 8th of September, as they take on Minnesota and Sam Darnold.
And if Daniel Jones is mobile, if he's able to do a little running like he did a couple of years ago, and you know he could maybe have a little bit better, you know, some more weapons. Maybe like you said, they could surprise you and win a game or two that they're not supposed to win. And you know, like I said, I just want to be optimistic. I just want to be 1-0. How about that? Let's just start out 1-0.
No, I get it. Hey, listen, Dan, I don't disagree. You want to get off to a good start. You want to have some positive vibes. You don't want to, you know, embarrass yourself week one. Then it can trend and you know, like a ball roll downhill and go in the complete opposite direction. I get that. The whole thing is this: is you know, Brian Daboll's a good coach. You know, it didn't look great last year. I thought it looked obviously a lot better year number one. We knew there were issues. We found out, we all found out together. We all took it in that there were issues along that coaching staff. I'm not telling you that Shane Bowen is as creative a defensive mind as Wink Martindale, but this is everybody being on the same page. And the Giants have improved themselves up front. Quarterback's the most important position. Never going to deny that, right? If you don't have one, you're starving for one. And, you know, you could easily make the argument the Giants don't have one. But is he good enough to win some games with? Well, he's already shown that. Now, is he good enough to be a difference maker, a franchise caliber quarterback? No, he's not that. I would never say that Daniel Jones is that caliber of player. We've seen him respond when the chips were down, when everybody counted him out. We saw that a couple years ago. We'll see how he responds this year because it's a big pressurized year for DJ. Joey in Rockland's up next to the fan. What's going on, Joey?
How's it going, my friend? I love your show. I have two questions for you. Number one, what do the Giants really want? Do they want Jones to go 6-11 or 11-6? Because if he goes 11-6, are they going to be happy because they're going to be stuck with him another 5 years? Or they want him to go 6-11 and bury him? That's question one.
Joey, they want to win. If you ask Daboll or Shane, everybody in the National Football League is there to try and win. If you're going to really seriously ask the question, right now, would the Giants sign up to go 6-11 or 11-6? Well, the easy answer is this, and the obvious answer is they'd rather go 11-6.
And then what's going to happen if they go, let's say 10-7 or 9-8? They're going to be stuck in nowhere's land. And
why?
One more question.
Why would they be stuck in nowhere's land? What because about Daniel Jones actually plays well? What about if it looks a lot different this year? What about if all the concerns you have about DJ right now, and I'm not telling you that they are unjustified, but the concerns you have about Daniel Jones, what about if they're answered to the positive for the most part?
Okay, and one more question. Are Shane and Daboll connected at the hip? Meaning if they both stay or they both go, or Shane is going to stay here a while and he'll dump Daboll.
Listen, the jobs this year are not on the line. If you're asking me, you would never keep the head coach. You'd never keep the head coach and then fire the GM, and then bring in a GM with the same head coach in place. Because if I'm going to change the general manager. I mean, just simple kind of logic when you look at it, right? And the Jets did this with Idzik and Ryan. I said at the time it was going to end up being an unmitigated disaster and ended up being an absolute disaster, right? That's not how you operate. Winning in the National Football League is difficult. That makes it even more difficult. But if I'm hiring a general manager, I'd want that general manager, and I'm buying into that GM, that individual's vision of what said organization and what football is going to look like top on down from, you know, from a player perspective to stylistically to the coaching staff to, you know, the scouting department, what we're going to do, what you lean into when you're looking at NFL analytics, all those things. I'm going to want that general manager to hire their own head coach. I mean, that's it. Now, could you say, all right, well, Shane, you could do it the opposite direction. I mean, Shane could stick around and you move on from the head coach. I mean, we've seen that time and time again, but I don't think there's ever a scenario. I would never sign up if I was owning a team, and I'm not wealthy enough. I don't have that kind of money at all to own a team. But if I was owning a team, I would never keep the head coach, fire the GM, and then bring a new general manager. I think that's rear end backwards. Pete in the Bronx, up next in the family. What's going on, Pete?
Hey, what's up? I just want to talk about this salt and vinegar crisis. So, you know, I guess he's an early guy. Leave the guy alone. You know, a guy like me, too. I'm up early, 3:30 in the morning. I start my day at 4:30. So maybe sometimes I eat my salt and vinegar chips 9:30 in the morning. Maybe sweet, spicy chili Doritos.
Pete, were you up at 3:30 this morning?
Yes, but that's because I didn't go to sleep yet.
You were up at 3:30 this morning?
Yeah, I don't get a lot of sleep.
Yes, how much sleep are you getting every day?
Like 4 hours, maybe. Not good.
Yeah, probably about.
Well, I understand.
Four to six
like now, listen. If you're working overnights, I get it. I get it. If you're driving, you know, if you're driving the bread truck, you're, you know, whatever you might be, your day starts early. You're up at, you know, 2-3 in the clock in the morning. You're working overnights. Okay, that's fair. That's understandable. I would defend that then. I didn't realize that Hoffman was pulling those kind of late nights. I didn't realize he walked in here, had a huge cup of coffee. You know, he's kicking the tin can down the street. He's wearing his Met gear. I was like, Pete, a little pep in the step. I haven't seen you. I don't know when the next time I'm going to see you. How you doing? And he's like, I'm all right. It's Friday. And I walk in there, and he's eating chips.
My week is a very long week. Even on a week where it's a light week, I'm doing a lot of stuff. I'm doing a lot of podcasts, doing a lot of stuff. So,
what are you up at 3:30 in the morning for?
Oh, well, that's just because I can't sleep.
What, do you have sleep apnea?
No, I don't, actually. I've looked into it.
What, are you worried? Concerned?
No.
Mind racing?
No, I just do a lot of late-night podcasts, and that keeps me up. I do a lot of napping during the day.
Who's recording a podcast at 3 a.m.?
No, it's just my schedule. Like, I took a nap yesterday when I got home, and then that kind of, like, screws up my sleep schedule.
Gotcha. Listen, as I said, enjoy the chips.
They were delicious.
Dove, enjoy those saltless pretzels. It's like eating cardboard, but enjoy it. I get it. He has to limit the salt in his diet. Not going to knock it. It's just not very tasteful.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be, to be.
Sometimes in football, you need just a little more for that first down. You need to be pushing the pile. And on our new podcast, we'll give you that extra effort.
I'm Mike Renner, a longtime NFL analyst who helped develop player evaluation systems that every NFL team uses to this day.
And I'm Kyle Long, former All-Pro offensive lineman in the NFL who knows a thing or two about getting people moving.
You'll get expertise from inside the trenches and behind the tape for 4 episodes every week. So make sure you download and subscribe to the Pushing the Pile podcast on the Odyssey app.
Trying to figure out what to eat for dinner yet again? With Knorr sides and bouillon as your not-so-secret ingredient, you can skip the drive-thru and do dinner at home. Knorr taste combos provide a menu of delicious, affordable, and well-balanced meals that you can prepare in 30 minutes or less. Visit Knorr.com to get quick and easy recipe ideas for your home-cooked weeknight dinners. It's not fast food, but it's so good.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
In life and recovery, every day is a little different. Embrace the good days, the not so good days, and the challenges, and acknowledge how you overcame them. Find the path to recovery that works for you. Learn more at cdc.gov/stopoverdose.